Warren Buffett, think Berkshire Hathaway, has sold one of his prized companies that he held for 35 years. It's the business news headlines for Thursday, the 22nd day of July. Thanks for being with us, everybody. In other business news, it wasn't much, but Wall Street closed above the flat line. Meanwhile, religion, politics, and business all made the news today. Another car manufacturer is going all in on electric. Another restaurant chain without food, say it ain't so. Speaking of food, fast food prices are going up. Which four are leading the charge? We'll share. We've got the Wall Street Report, and some employers are wondering where all the employees have gone. We may have found the answer. Let's go.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Focus and Find, a socially responsible way to acquire diverse talent. FocusandFind.com. Taro International for corporate and personal training to achieve, lead, and outclass. TERO.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, the original agriculture equipment recyclers and suppliers at ntpda.com. And by Oasis, a paychecks company devoted to HR solutions for business. Find them at oasisadvantage.com.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to this, the Thursday edition of the Business News Headlines. I'm your host, Michael Libby, and yeah, you can follow us on Twitter at IOB_NewsHour. Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway recently sold Kirby after 35 years of owning the vacuum cleaner company. The famed investor's conglomerate rarely sells businesses, and Buffett once prized Kirby as one of Berkshire's best subsidiaries, making the transaction notable. Berkshire sold Kirby to Right Lane Industries. That's an industrial holding company that seeks to acquire U.S.-based manufacturing and industrial services companies, invest in them, and then hold them permanently. And that strategy chimes with Berkshire's promise of a forever home for the businesses he buys. The announced sale price was $910 million. Market Insider is reporting that Buffett once counted Kirby as one of the sainted seven among Berkshire's non-insurance businesses, along with the likes of See's Candies and the Nebraska Furniture Mart. When Buffett acquired Kirby in 1985, he wrote in praise of the company, writing, quote, "While the Kirby product is more expensive than most cleaners, it performs in a manner that leaves cheaper units far behind and in the dust, so to speak." Buffett said, quote, "Many 30- and 40-year-old Kirby cleaners are still in active duty. If you want the best, you buy a Kirby," end quote. I agree. We got one. Well, it wasn't by much, but what had started out as a down day for the Dow ended with all three major indexes above the flat line. The Dow picked up just 25 points and change, and I will share with you all the numbers in just a bit. Well, this week, Unilever said it would not renew its Ben & Jerry's contract with the Israeli firm that sells the ice cream in that nation because it objects to the occupation of the West Bank. Now, several U.S. states have been drawn into the fray. CNBC is reporting that the fight between Israel and the Palestinians is spilling over into 30 U.S. states with laws on their books preventing pension funds from investing in companies that refuse to do business with the Jewish state. The freshest example involves the socially conscious ice cream brand Ben & Jerry's, the West Bank, Texas, and Florida. Earlier this week, the Ben & Jerry's board said it would no longer allow sales in areas it believes Israel should not control. The company, now owned by global consumer giant Unilever, has sold its brand in Israel for decades through a local Israeli distributor. Unilever said it would seek a new deal to sell ice cream in Israel, but not in territory claimed by Palestinians for a state of their own. Then on Thursday, Unilever CEO Alan Jope said that the company, quote, "remains fully committed to our business in Israel," end quote. What that means, we're not sure. Meanwhile, a spokesperson for the GOP Texas Governor Greg Abbott told CNBC that Ben & Jerry's decision to boycott parts of Israel is disgraceful and an insult to America's closest ally in the Middle East. The statement went on to say that Unilever, Ben & Jerry's parent company, must reverse its ill-conceived decision. Abbott signed a bill into law 4 years ago that would force Texas pension funds to divest from any company boycotting Israel, as have 30 other states, including Florida, Iowa, and others. Airbnb was the last company to find itself tangled in a similar issue. Back in 2018, the rental site said it was banning listings of Israeli property in the West Bank, territory Palestinians claim should be part of their state. But the company reversed itself a few months later and now looks at listings on a case-by-case approach, according to a statement on its website. Two words? Yeah. Stay tuned. The going all in on electric vehicles just got a boost from a major German company. The Associated Press is reporting that Mercedes-Benz says it is stepping up its transition to electric cars, doubling the planned share of sales by 2025, and sketching out a market scenario in which new car sales would, in essence, be fully electric by the end of the decade. Yes, that would be 2030. The company said it foresaw half of its sales as battery-only or plug-in hybrid cars by 2025. That's up from a quarter in previous forecasts. In the first 6 months of this year, such vehicles were 10.3% of total sales. The company sold 39,000 battery cars and 121,500 plug-in hybrids, which combine a battery with internal combustion. Yeah, change, it is a-coming. Oh, this is something you no doubt did not want to hear. Now it's Taco Bell that's being hit with shortages, and it's sort of got to do with chips, but not the semiconductor type. CBS News is reporting that the Taco Bell menu may be a bit limited these days, with the quick service restaurant chain warning customers that it might not be able to fulfill their current appetite hankerings. Those who frequent Taco Bell turn to social media to share their culinary disappointment. A multitude of complaints on Twitter pointed to a lack of beef, chicken, hot sauce, and 10-inch tortillas at the Yum! Brands division, which runs nearly 7,500 Taco Bells, most of them here in the United States. Similar complaints were lodged on Reddit, with one person relaying, quote, "They couldn't make any burritos since they were out of 10-inch tortillas, and none of the tacos had lettuce or tomato on them. I went back through the drive-thru and asked about it, and they said they're pretty much out of anything that comes fresh," end quote. So do you remember Yo Quiero Taco Bell? You know, the talking dog? Well, the talking dog would be disappointed, too. In a related story, it's no secret that food, from restaurant chains to grocery stores, is getting more expensive. The cost of raw ingredients is growing, the labor market is tight, and the supply chain is still suffering, lags that have become largely put in motion by various aspects of the pandemic. Eat This, Not That is reporting that quick service chains have seen the biggest price surges of all restaurant chains this year, an average of like 6%. While at some, you won't even notice that the price of your coffee or burger has gone up, at others, the increases are too substantial to ignore. So here's the four chains where prices have gone up the most. Chipotle is up by 4% on average, all helping to pay for that $15 an hour wage increase. Dunkin' has increased prices on some menu items by as much as 8%. McDonald's is increasing their pay to $15 an hour, and the company says prices are going up a bit to pay for that. McDonald's has had an 8% price increase this year. And finally, there is the aforementioned Taco Bell. The beloved chain has had one of the highest price surges in the fast food industry, and you're now paying about 10% more for Taco Bell food. That is, if you can get it. Well, it was a meh kind of day on Wall Street, with the major averages just climbing above the flat line, and on a day when we saw an unexpected surge in first-time unemployment numbers, up some 51,000 from last week. This week saw 419,000 new unemployment applications. That and some states continuing to see COVID numbers, well, that put the damper on Wall Street today. At the bell, the Dow was up by just 25 points to close at 34,823, while the NASDAQ outperformed, rising by 52 points to 14,684, and the S&P 500 was able to eke out an 8-point gain to close at 43.65. And finally, there is this. You know, some employers are wondering, where are all the employees? Where have they gone? Some think they're sitting out there collecting enhanced unemployment benefits, and while some are, consider the fact that many states are seeing major increases in business startups. For example, the Des Moines Register is reporting that the Iowa Secretary of State has seen 33,260 new business filings in the past year. That is a 36% increase from the prior fiscal year. The sharp influx of new filings is not only up from 2020, when large swaths of the economy suffered and multiple businesses were forced to shut down. New business registrations in Iowa are even up from 2018 by, get this number, 41%. And the new startup numbers could be even higher. Why? Sole proprietors do not have to register with the state. So where have those workers gone? Well, they might have had it with corporate life and have started a business of their own. Well, that's a wrap. Thanks so very much for joining us. For all of us that put this together each and every day, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing, Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great day. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.